Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I like to follow the lectionary where we have a series of lections and lessons from the scripture that are selected, but today I'm going to cheat. Because last week we had Colossians 1, verses 1 to 14, which closes with, He rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then, for this week, they skipped a little section and then started with verse 21. I can't skip that little section because it's a big section. It's a major section. It's one of the most amazing sections in the scriptures. So we're going to hear all the way from 15 through 29. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in Him, in Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. In all things He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him, God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through His blood on the cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before Him. Provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I'm now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations but has now been revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is He whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that He powerfully inspires within me. Well, how in the world did it happen that on July 17th, we get a text about ministry? How in the world did that happen? Well, here it is. We talk about two ministries. First of all, the ministry of Christ, and then the ministry of pastors. First, the ministry of Christ, this unbelievably majestic section in Colossians. Some people say that the best stories about who Jesus is as true God, though it's also about true man here, are in the Gospel of John and Hebrews and Colossians. We read the scriptures not to find out what God wants us to do for Him, but what He has done for us and what He equips us to do with Him. Not for Him, but with Him. And so as Paul writes to the Colossians, and remember that the people of Colossae did not know Paul personally, so he does a little bit more of gathering the whole story together. He first of all said, I'm thankful for your faith. I'm hearing about the faith and love you have because of the hope that fills you, because of Christ who died and rose for you. And then he says, and I want you still to grow. I want you to become more and more aware of that. A couple of different summer sessions I did at Concordia for the Scripture and Life Bible Study series. One of them was titled, Same Old Story. So what's new? And another, the ups and downs of faith and life. We know the story. Jesus died to save me from my sins. So there's new only in our last week of life. Every week there are new things, new burdens. Last week we prayed for things in our own country, things that happened in our own city, and things that happened in Dallas. We've had prayers for so many different tragedies and hateful things that have been done. This week, it's international. The entire country of Turkey and the entire city of Nice in France. Mourning, upset. There are wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. We need the Lord to strengthen us and hold on to us and help us not to grow weary in well-doing, like Paul says in Galatians, and not to lose heart, not to think somehow to give it all up, this is all a waste of time, life is worthless. And so Colossians can remind us that we as the body of believers are wrapped up in eternity, wrapped up in the eternal life that Jesus has provided for us in his own death and resurrection. And yet this section in Colossians says, oh, by the way, he's not just somebody who showed up lately, some guy who was born a few years ago over in Palestine. He is the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is true God. He doesn't come to this earth simply as some fellow who happens to get a following, but as God himself coming into the flesh, not to bring trouble, but to bring peace and hope and promise of life everlasting. The entire universe was created through him and for him. It is for the joy of God himself that this creation was made, and it is for the joy of God himself that we are saved and redeemed and gifted with that new life that we might go forth as his people. So many voices tell us about what's wrong. So many voices weigh us down. And yet here comes the voice that says, you are okay with me. I loved you with an everlasting love. I knew about you before the earth was formed, and I have plans for you to be with me forever. And I give you the peace that you cannot get on your own. And so all things in all creation were created through him and for him. I happen to have a quibble with the way the New Revised Standard Version does this with that in everything he might have first place. Please never put Christ first in your life. Never put Christ first in your life. Because then there's going to be a place where he's not. Where you check off the box, I'm done with him now, now I can go do my thing. Christ is our life. He is preeminent in everything we do. Whether we gather for worship or put gas in the car, he is there guiding and leading this entire creation that people might be touched with his grace and with his mercy. I particularly like that text because that was the text for Concordia Ann Arbor that was selected when Concordia was built in Ann Arbor in 1982, that in all things he might be preeminent. Because the church is about him being Lord in the ups and downs of faith and life, that we recognize that there is a human being who is also true God who holds onto this universe, the one he created, the one he loves so much, that the Son came to suffer and die so that we might have life everlasting, and that the Spirit through holy baptism has given us. And so now, how does Paul say it goes on? He says, well, now that you know you've been brought from death to life and you're living out that new life, now what's my job? Some people get a little nervous about this when they read this because, first of all, he says that once all of you who were at enmity with God, now you're at peace with him. Can you imagine waking up tomorrow morning and finding out that ISIS has made peace with everybody else on the earth? And we're going to have a big Thanksgiving meal, and everybody is going to sit down and rejoice that everybody has a proper place, that every person of every color in this country would wake up tomorrow morning and forget any animosity against anybody else and love and care for each other. Well, that's what eternity is. That's what the gift is in eternity. We get to live that out now the best we can. But that is what God has in mind. And he says, for us who are Christians, it's already there inside of us. We are at peace with God. Thus, don't just love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. Which means we carry the burdens of others on our hearts. And that's what Paul is getting at here. He says, you've been brought from death to life, that God picked you up from the brokenness and put you in the kingdom of the Son he loves. You are in Christ. You are at peace with him. You have everything he said. Listen to it and shape your life according to that in the way you look at every other human being as someone who's been died for, that our job is not to punish someone else for what they haven't done, but to love other people because of what Christ has done for them. That's the mission of a Christian congregation. And a pastor's job is to help people hear that, to help everybody understand what we are and what we get to do, what we get to be with that. And thus Paul says, I complete in my own body what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. And all of a sudden, Lutherans put the brakes on and say, wait a minute! How can Paul talk about that? How can he say that Christ's afflictions didn't solve everything? I thought, it is finished. The best we can understand is what Paul is saying is as we carry out the ministry, there are individuals right now that each of us carry on our heart. And our new pastor is going to carry lots more maybe than any of the rest of us. The things that are going on in the ups and downs of faith and life. The things that we share, that we carry, that are burdens for us. The joys that we share, the celebrations that we have. To have all of that put within the framework of Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. So that we do not just look at our lives in human terms, but wrapped in the gospel of salvation. And Paul says, I'm weary. I want you all to continue in doing that, and I'm worried that you might wander away from it. And so I want you to be reminded of that good news of salvation. I want you to know that you have been forgiven, that you've been saved, that you've been redeemed. Even what's wrong in your heart has been taken away by Christ. Thus, don't be burdened with yourself. Lay that before the Lord week after week, I, a poor, miserable sinner, and lay before him all the things that you struggle with, and then come and be fed with my body and blood, that you might be strengthened, that you can love as I have loved you. Pastors, as Paul says, are set aside by God's own design. He says, I want people installed who will be leaders to guide in the things of God. Not to demand or coerce, but to let the good news of salvation fertilize and strengthen every human heart. And thus we as the people of God get to be blessed, get to be strengthened, get to pass on that baton from generation to the next. That baton that really says Christ Jesus is the pastor. Always has been, always will be. And he who is the pastor in this place gives us others who will help us to keep our eyes fixed on that cross and salvation and have our lives unfold according to it. We all have things we have to do to get along in our own life. But let us rejoice that we also get to carry people on our hearts, love people for Christ, and that we can be thankful that God continues to provide those who will help us, who will carry our burdens and our joys, and help us as we praise and honor the Lord, looking out into the world that he has restored, that we might bring that reconciliation to those around us. Richest blessings. Amen. May the peace of God, that passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.